The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, what a weekend it has been in sport, and we'll be talking with Kathleen McNamee, a digital producer with Off the Ball, co-host of the Irish Koi Gig podcast. But first of all, to talk about a rugby weekend, Matt Williams, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Lovely to talk to you.
Now, what a weekend in rugby. We'll talk about Ireland-England in a moment, but we had France-Wales, which looked like it was going to go to the wire and then did not. But then we had Italy-Scotland, and Italy taking Scotland. What a moment for them.
Great moment, Pat. The Olympic Stadium was sold out, 75,000 people. First time, you know, I can remember the Olympic Stadium being sold out. Usually it's half full and in front of a full crowd. You know, we can't criticise Scotland because it was just Italy playing very, very well. Their defence in the second half was heroic. And they scored some great tries. The whole weekend was entertaining, Pat. But that game in particular was on the edge of your seat, sort of stuff. It was a really dramatic game, and brilliant to watch. And again, the whole weekend, in many ways, as difficult as it is from an Irish point of view, really breathed life back into the tournament. The tournament had been pretty stodgy up until last weekend, but that game in Rome was quite magnificent.
So Matt, what do you make of Italy now? Because, you know, they almost beat France. They have beaten Scotland. Where are they and how have they come really so far so fast?
Pat, I think we've still got to say that the jury's out. They lost in the World Cup to New Zealand by 90 points, then lost to France by, I think it was 65. And since then, as I just said, it's their defence that has really come good. And you can see the impact of their new coach, Quesada, Argentinian international, who has coached in top 14 here in France for many, many years. And their attacking play off set piece is great. They scored a wonderful set piece try. There was a line out they kicked through. And their ball in hand game has been very, very good. Mm. It's their consistency, Pat, that a bit like Scotland. One week they're wonderful, the next week they're not. Even in halves of matches, the first half the Italian defence wasn't great. Scotland scored two early tries and we thought, oh, here we go again. But then in the second half they got their act together and defended really well. So they've just got to get their consistency. But the great thing is they're competitive.
Yeah.
And for many, many years they haven't been, Pat. So that's the main thing.
Now, with France and Wales, it was nip and tuck. And then in the latter stages of the second half, France ran in those tries, and you could see the despondency on Warren Gatland's face because his development team, if you like, had been coping so well.
Yeah, I really felt for Wales. They'd been incredibly brave, and the indication of a team's willingness to perform their unity is what we call scramble defence. In other words, when the attacking team breaks the line and you just have to get to the tackle. There's no system. It's just about effort and energy. And Wales scrambled magnificently in that game. They were just wonderful. And that scoreline doesn't reflect the effort that Welsh team put in, but it does reflect the talent, if you like, deficit. That is a very talented French side that haven't been playing great, and there is not a lot of talent in that Welsh side. It's a side that's trying very, very hard. You cannot question their commitment or their effort. They just don't have the personnel that the other teams have. And the French talent, in the end, just came out in a very physical way. The French took them on and eventually wore them down. And the last 15 minutes, we saw some really good tries from the French. And again, in a very entertaining game that up until the 70th or 65th minute had been changing. The lead had been changing hands constantly. It was great rugby, really wonderful to watch. But the class of France got away in the end.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about the senior game in Twickenham, what about the under-20s in Bath? I mean, a thriller. And again, down to the last gasp. And these guys would not say die. They would not lie down.
Pat, I thought they were beaten about four times. Everything, oh, well, that's it. England have got them. And they just found a way to keep coming back and keep coming back. And without playing to their best, you know, and it was a bit like the senior team. They hung in there and they found ways to score. And then in the dying seconds of the game, they found a way to score a try and convert to get at that draw that looked like it was gone. And you know, full credit to Richie Murphy, the coach, and the whole squad, and they again will be playing Scotland for a championship. We hope that they should. I think they will win that. Scotland are this year and in the last few years in the under 20s are very poor. So while there's no Grand Slams, you know, the national team in the under 20s are still in line for two championships, which is still a phenomenal achievement.
Now let's talk about the senior game, and we know we lost Calvin Ash early, and we know that the 6-2 split of only two back substitutes and six forward substitutes might someday come back to bite us, and it did on Saturday.
Absolutely, Pat. I'm not a fan of it. I'm against it for far too many reasons to mention here on your show. But you know, you buy the ticket, you take the ride. Nick Mallett, the great South African coach, when South Africa started experimenting with a 6-2 split and a 7-1 split, kept saying, this is a high-risk decision. So if you're going into the game a back down, you have a risk. And the rugby gods have a way that I've found over the years, where you're weakest, they will hit you where you're weakest. And Ireland paid a massive price. And I think you could honestly say that last line out of the game that England had, the Irish backline defence was really below standard. Now, that's something we haven't said about an Irish team for many years. Their defence has been their strength. Their record in defence is vastly superior to any other team in the competition. But with people playing out of position and people fatiguing, so they couldn't replace anyone, the English targeted the channel outside Robbie Henshaw. So the link between your outside centre, and Robbie's an inside centre, and who was playing there and has played really well. But they targeted that channel, and they got a lot of great return from it. And from a line-out that should have been tackled, the English team should have been tackled maybe 30 metres further upfield, they got right inside the Irish 22. And once they got inside that 22, it was trouble. It was trouble, and the hand went up for the referee's hand went up for an advantage. They didn't need it in the end.
That
can certainly come back to the 6-2 split.
Matt, looking at what happened when Conor Murray got the ball at the back of the scrum and then booted it into touch, which handed possession to the English, I was screaming at the set, Conor, what are you doing? Now, did he have no choice? Because if the forwards had just kind of held on to it, any of them held on to it, that let the clock run down, we had a win. And instead, they handed possession back to England.
It's a tough one, Pat. It's a tough one. What you don't want is you don't want the ball within penalty goal kicking distance of your goalpost. So you want to get the ball up the field. And the more you hang on to the ball, the higher the risk is the referee will penalise you. That's just human nature of referees. We've seen it so often. I felt that they rushed that kick. I felt that the team could have put a few more phases together to make another kick or get James Lowe, his giant boot, involved with a little bit more patience. Hindsight's a perfect lens, isn't it? Yeah. I certainly didn't think it was the right option. I can understand why they did it, but I think earlier on in the game, Pat, like to quote Finn Russell, when Scotland lost to France in the dying seconds, they shouldn't have been in that position. They should have had the game a lot further in hand than they did. And there's a few reasons for that. Their scrum and our line-out was not where it should be, and our defence was not where it should be. Yeah. We let in some really soft points. Yeah. And I hate to say this, but we do have to say it, England played magnificently. Ireland brought out the best in England since the 2019 semi-final where they beat New Zealand at the World Cup.
It might have been daylight robbery if we had taken it. So, because England did play well, we have to concede that. Matt, thank you very much for giving us your analysis of all the rugby at the weekend. That's Matt Williams. Kathleen, listening to all of that, what an exciting weekend of rugby. Just great.
What an exciting weekend of rugby. I did slightly feel, watching the under-20s on Friday, that maybe we had used up all our luck when it came to just scraping past England. That was a sensational game, but very disappointing result on Saturday for us.
Now, looking at football across channel, and what a game yesterday between Liverpool and Man City.
It was absolutely sensational and totally what we deserved in the context of this Premier League title race. You saw Arsenal on Saturday night just scraping past Brentford in arguably a game that they would have lost last season, putting themselves in pole position to go top of the table. And then the two like Klopp and Pep just slugging it out for that 96, 97 minutes, I think it was, in the end. Lots of extra time added on. Liverpool arguably should have won it, I think.
I think it was a penalty?
I think it was a penalty. I think they had the better chances as well, even beyond that penalty. And when you look at the injury list that Liverpool had, the fact that they were able to go toe-to-toe with City like that was really impressive. I think they have shown that they have the mentality this year to get themselves over the line. Now, you would probably, it's impossible to ever count City out in these situations, but it feels like there's something special about this Liverpool team in particular.
Particularly in the farewell to Klopp year.
I think so. I think he would probably argue that that has nothing to do with how the team has performed, but we said whenever the news was announced, what way is this going to go for Liverpool? Are they going to be able to take on the pressure, or are they going to wilt under it? And I think you've very much seen that between that announcement, between the injuries, between competing against in probably the best Premier League title race that we've had in the Premier League era, they've just taken it all on board and it hasn't had been a factor for them at all, really. So impressive.
In golf, Shane Lowry did well, but he did not take the win. Scheffler, I think, five shots ahead of second place, and then Lowry in third. So a big payday, and probably creep him into the top 50 again?
Yeah, creeping up again. I mean, it was a nice little 1.4 million, I think it was, that he earned from that third place. So certainly not something to turn your nose up. It was a good competition in general. McKibben was also moved up in the ranks as well. So all the Irish were faring quite well. Poor Shane Lowry, I think what really got him was the poor start that he had, and then that final round as well. But Scotty Scheffler, Jared was tipping him this morning as one to watch to win all the big Masters this year.
Someone to watch in Formula One might be young Oliver Bearman, who was stepping in for Carlos Sainz in Ferrari because he had an appendicitis.
This is a remarkable story, and it goes to show with F1 where we're at, and that Verstappen's not the main story once again. 18-year-old British rookie called in at the last minute. He only had an hour to prepare. He normally only races in Formula 2, started in 11th place and managed to get into 7th place for Ferrari. He said himself that he actually just didn't have the time to get nervous about it, and that's why he was able to perform so well.
So a name to watch for the future. And of course, Verstappen and Perez took 1 and 2, with Leclerc getting the third podium place. In GAA, some very interesting results.
Some very interesting results. We saw Waterford relegated after that defeat to Wexford at the weekend. We also had Cork absolutely annihilating Offaly in Division 1. They won 5-28 to 16 points. Really tight game between Clare and Kilkenny, which is interesting. Clare beat them by 3 points. A lot of people saying this could be Clare's year to do something interesting. But Limerick are just the standout performers once again. I mean, this hurling that they're playing at the moment is sort of hurling that you'd expect in Championship rather than League.
And finally, of course, Cheltenham.
Cheltenham's coming up. Really going to be an interesting week. We had the big news last week that Constitution Hill wouldn't be racing, just wasn't fit enough in time. The Irish will be hoping to do well. We're seeing an interesting trend when it comes to Cheltenham, where the Irish racers are starting to outnumber the English racers, which they're not too happy about over there. A real issue in the horse racing. But Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott will be many of the favourites to win during the week.
All right. Lots to look forward to for those who are interested in the GGs. And many people are in this country, and many people travel over and have an unforgettable week, which they can't remember.
Yeah. Well, John Duggan will be doing lots of updates across all the different stations.
Kathleen McInbee, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.